Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Holy Spirit, witness for the prosecution. Based on our gospel reading from John, these verses, Jesus said, "But I will send the Holy Spirit, the helper to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in your worship folder as we consider our theme, Holy Spirit, witness for the prosecution. Over the years, I have really enjoyed particular TV shows that portray a working together of police and lawyers and judges. I especially like it when the prosecuting attorney brings a conviction against someone who's a bad guy and needs to be convicted. It's especially exciting in these shows when the judge bangs his gavel and says, "Will the witness for the prosecution please step forward?" And this witness gives his testimony, and the truth is revealed. In today's gospel reading on this Pentecost Sunday, Jesus promises us and his disciples that after his death on the cross, rising from the grave, and ascension into heaven, he will send the Holy Spirit as a witness for the prosecution, so to speak. His job is to convict the world of three things. We just read it. To convict the world of sin, to convict the world of righteousness, to convict the world of judgment. Jesus said in John 16:8, "And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." This text from John 16 is probably the single best Bible passage that explains the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's very fitting for this Pentecost Sunday when we focus on the third person of the Holy Trinity, not the Father, not the Son, but Holy Spirit. On your outline, first Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict people of sin. Verse 9 says, "Concerning sin," says Jesus, "because they don't believe in me." Our Lord tells us here the root cause of the sin in the world is a refusal by people to acknowledge and to trust that Jesus is the Savior and the Lord. Sin is seen as putting oneself as the center of all things. No need for God. No need to deal with sin. No need for a Savior. Yet our dear Lord tells us in John 8, verse 24, "Except you believe in me, you shall die in your sin." And like a prosecuting attorney, the Holy Spirit convicts people by bringing the guilt of sin to their hearts. What, for what reason? So that they will seek to get right with God. The Holy Spirit works conviction in people's heart as God's word is shared and proclaimed. An example of this is Peter's Pentecost sermon from Acts chapter 2. After his powerful sermon, some 3,000 people on one day were convicted of their sin and their need for a Savior. This was not due to Peter's eloquence. It was due to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of Peter's sermon, we hear these words in Acts 2:37. "And when the people heard this, they were pierced to their heart, and they asked, 'What now must we do?'" My friends, we cannot convict people. They cannot convict themselves. Our only task as a church is to faithfully proclaim God's word. Now listen carefully to this next sentence. not just to fearfully proclaim and hear God's word, but also be the people who bring others to the place where God's word is proclaimed. Just imagine how people's lives could be changed for eternity and how the church would grow if each Christian would not just see, quote, the church as a place to go on Sundays, but the place where the Holy Spirit of God is at work through the power of His word to convict people of sin and to give them the gift of salvation. The truth is, the typical unbeliever does not look at unbelief as sin. If anything, just the opposite. They may see unbelief as intellectual sophistication. Oh, you can believe that Jesus nonsense if you want to, but not me. This is when the proclamation of God's law is needed to reveal that sinful, prideful rejection of God. Look at the consequences in our world. Sinful, prideful rejection of God and His truth leads to brokenness, hopelessness, and destruction. Now, it's been said of preachers, and when I used to teach preaching at our seminary in Edmonton, we would say the job of a preacher is to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict those who are comfortable. Aha! The gospel is the message of God's love and forgiveness to comfort those afflicted by sin. But it is also necessary to proclaim God's law and judgment to afflict people who are way too comfortable in their sin. And the Holy Spirit's job is to convict people of sin so that they turn to the loving and forgiving arms of their Savior. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicts people to sin. What's the next part in your outline? The Holy Spirit also does what? You tell me. Convicts people of righteousness. John 16:10, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning righteousness. Righteousness means a right relationship between you and God. The Holy Spirit reveals that true righteousness is not based on our good lives or our good deeds or trying to keep God's commandments. Righteousness is a gift of God. The very theme of the book of Romans, righteousness from God. Ephesians 2 tells us it's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. A right relationship with God as His gift is so important when we hear the word of God's law in the Scripture, Romans 3:23, that says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." My friends, none of us are righteous on our own. The Holy Spirit shows us this, convicts us of this truth. But that's not all that He does. When Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness, He also means the Holy Spirit shows us where true righteousness is to be found. Only in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22 says this, "The righteousness of God is through faith in Christ Jesus for all those who believe." Now, in a human court of law, conviction leads to judgment, leads to punishment. But Almighty God turns this all upside down. God's conviction leads to righteousness. God makes the unrighteous person righteous. He makes us righteous through the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior who paid for our unrighteous deeds and sin. I think you'll understand it even better in this following story about conviction and judgment. Again, some years ago when I still lived at Edmonton and I was still teaching, my father died. 12 hours away in Spokane, Washington, my hometown, not far from our old dairy farm, my father died. And so I was really in a hurry to set aside preaching duties, to get in my car and drive quickly the 12 hours to Spokane to be by my mother, to be by her side. The truth is, I drove way too fast. After the funeral, after helping my mother, I drove back to Edmonton. And when I got home in the mail, I received a beautiful letter from the Edmonton City Police. In this letter was a very, very expensive speeding ticket. I gulped, wrote the check out for the full amount, wrote a letter and apologized and told them that I was wrong, but these were the reasons why I was in a hurry and sent my check in. You know, about a week or two later, I received another letter in the mail. This was a personal letter from the chief of police of Edmonton. And in his letter, he gave me personally his condolences for the death of my father. He returned my check and informed me that he had paid for my traffic ticket. And then he said, please drive more carefully from now on. Wow! What a nice gift. And what an illustration of what Almighty God has done for you and me at the cross. At the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all our offenses, for all your sins and all for mine. That's what the Bible calls grace. Ephesians 2 says that this way, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works. No one can boast. When the Holy Spirit brings this truth to a person, Jesus says, he is convicting them of righteousness. That a right relationship with God is given to us because of Jesus. In John 16, Jesus has said the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, convicts the world of righteousness. What's the last conviction? Convicts the world of judgment. Verse 11 says, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. The ruler of this world means the devil. The devil has been judged at the cross. His verdict is sealed. Listen to what Jesus says in John 12. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. Because when I am lifted up, says Jesus, I will draw all people to myself. Lifted up refers to Jesus being lifted up and nailed on the cross and then lifted up in glory in his resurrection and ascension. God's Good Friday cross and God's Easter Sunday empty grave is his heavenly courtroom where the ruler of this world, the devil, is judged and defeated. It's also where sin and death are judged and defeated. But the Bible also clearly teaches us, and if you've tuned out, it's time now to tune in. The Bible also teaches us that judgment day will one day come for every sinner, for you and for me. 2 Peter 2:9 tells us, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment. Jesus told us earlier in verse 11 of John 16, the ruler of this world, the devil, is judged. His doom is sealed. But in the devil's judgment, the world sees its own judgment. If a person rejects Jesus, who has died for him, if a person rejects Jesus who has taken away her sins, if a person rejects Jesus who at the cross and empty grave has given them the gift of righteousness, then the Bible tells us that person will experience eternal judgment. The Bible calls that hell. Hell is the devil's realm. It is not God's desire for any person. Yes, this judgment is not God's desire for the sinner. The Bible is so very clear on this. The most famous Bible passage in the scripture says this, "For God so loved," you can say it with me, "loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Our John 16 text for today has told us that at the cross and empty grave of Jesus, the devil has been judged and defeated. This is wonderful news for any person who humbly looks to the Savior in trusting faith. If you notice your sermon outline, we're rounding third. We're heading toward home, our final illustration. What a comfort that our Lord has judged the ruler of this world and will save his beloved people. In the Middle Ages of the church, about 1200 to 1500 AD, there was a very famous drama entitled The Harrowing of Hell. Harrowing is a farming term, which means to till up the soil, to turn it upside down. This drama portrayed Jesus, after his death and resurrection, of marching into the pits of hell and turning it all upside down, so to speak. He harrowed hell. In this drama, Jesus wades through a crowd of demons, picks one up and throws him this way, kicks the other one that way, marches to the very throne of the devil in his strong and victorious resurrection glory. He then spits in the face of the devil, mocks him as the so-called ruler of this world, and with his strong nail-pierced hands grabs the crown off of Satan's head and crushes it. Then he declares to the devil, who by this time is quaking with fear, "You thought you defeated me on Sunday. You thought at the cross you had won. Well, that was Friday. And today's Sunday. And I'm alive. And I've come for you. You are judged, O liar. Your judgment day is now. Sin and death, and you are defeated. I am the resurrection and the life," declared our Lord. "Christ is risen." Oh, come on. Christ is risen. My friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, when we're reminded of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the text also reminds us that we are co-witnesses with the Holy Spirit. As we have learned today, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to be a witness, to convict the world of sin, to convict the world of righteousness found in Christ, to convict the world of judgment that the devil has been defeated. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit chooses to do his ongoing work through people like you and me, through his church today. Regarding the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, "I will send him to you." The Holy Spirit continues to do his work. When the Word of God is proclaimed by the lives and the mouths, the deeds of God's people, by you and by me, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Dear Lord, help us as a congregation and as families and as individuals to be co-witnesses with the Holy Spirit. Keep us faithful to this task. Help us to be your church, your people whose witness of word and deed you use to convict others of sin, of judgment, and especially of the righteousness found only in Jesus. Thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.